just heard recently, of course, that Australia Post have come out with a statement saying they're going to end, well, not end completely. Obviously, we're going to get it explained to us a little bit more frankly here, but get our letters and so forth every second day now. So what is going to happen to everyone? Do we rely on it that much anymore these days? Associate Professor Paul Alexander joins us in the studio, Curtin School of Management and Marketing. Good afternoon to you, Paul. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jenny. Always good to talk about this.
Yes, well, good on you. First of all, the role of your department.
Well, look, we're a general management department, and we look at things like supply chains mostly, and letters are part of our supply chain. So that's why my interest in Australia Post comes about.
Fair enough, and I'm glad you're here to explain it to us. I don't know whether people have gone into a panic mode because we're very aware that we email so much more now. We do, you know, bank transactions over the internet and that sort of thing. So the changes are happening pretty quickly, or do you think this has been something that was going to happen quite some time ago?
When I look back, I think the year that comes into mind is 2016, when the writing was very much on the wall.
Really?
Well, the more emails we sent, the less letters we sent. And as soon as businesses started taking email seriously, which was about then, I felt that there was only a matter of time until we would completely transition to emails.
Was it a decision, do you think, about the economy of the whole situation? I mean, that they obviously wouldn't have had the revenue from postage to the cutback.
Are you talking about Australia Post?
Yes.
Australia Post was always they have an enormous network right around the country, and so they've always made a profit on letters, on moving mail. Not a lot of profit, given the amount of transactions that they do, but a profit. And that profit always came back to the Australian public, so it was a handy situation for them. But I think what happened was that bit by bit, year by year, month by month, less and less letters per week went out, and even more private people send emails privately. And certainly companies would say, well, if we send an invoice, for example, or an order number or something, we'll have to print it at our side. There's labour. We'd have to put it in an envelope. We have to transport it physically, and then they receive it at the other end. For them, it's a zero cost or far lower cost to do that. So it was always a very big commercial incentive for them to move to email.
Well, you couldn't compete against that, could you, really?
No, it was all about trust at that time.
Yeah, well, people, of course, email constantly all day now. And it's sort of like the romantic days of the postie coming down the street with his blowing his whistle to say there's some mail in the letterbox for
How
you.
How exciting they
it
were.
It was. That's what I'm getting at. And the reason I think that we look at our internet all the time now, or email, that sort of thing, transaction, is it's like getting mail all the time. Same feeling, really.
Yes, look, I mean, we probably have to distinguish between the postie coming around and what we get from the postie. Yesterday I was sitting in the garden and I heard the front gate, and the postie said, "How are you?" And I said, "Fine." He dropped me in a parcel and then went on his way and wished me happy day. It's exactly the same relationship. Mm. He still visits, or she still visits, daily. It's just that what they give me now is not the same.
Well, that's interesting, because we've got internet shopping, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
And the parcels have virtually taken over from letters.
Yes, it was a very strange time. You may recall it, COVID days,
when
we had no choice but everybody had to buy online, pretty much everybody, and it was a real short, sharp shock. And you imagine if a national transport agency that's geared up to deliver letters to every single address in the entire country, then suddenly has to deliver huge numbers of parcels to those same addresses. I think they learnt pretty fast how to do it. And there were issues and teething troubles, but it was like a proof of concept for them.
What about small business? Mm-hmm. Do they, you mentioned earlier that we've obviously converted to email for sending invoicing and, you know, requests and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So are they going to be affected by the fact that letters and so forth, the parcels will be every day, correct? Is that right?
Will become every day. Essentially, Australia Post has a requirement under the legislation is called community service obligations, and those obligations have been to deliver letters every day within 2 days, I think, for 98% of them, and a whole range of other things, post offices and where they are, that's an issue too. That's been renegotiated now. those obligations, to my mind, look like they've switched over to parcels.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Makes sense. Mm. That's the change that we're accepting, aren't we? Mm-hmm. I don't personally buy online at all. I just preferred, if I'm going to buy something, I want to feel it and touch it and everything like that. But we, as baby boomers, have got to move with this, don't we?
Well, yes, and it's interesting, I guess, when records were replaced by CDs, were replaced by streaming services, who would have thought that records would still have a place, that black vinyl stuff? I think there's got to be a space for people who want to do things like that.
I do too.
But to build an entire national network that's completely geared to doing that, I think the time had long gone when we had to rethink it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, it won't matter, but they are resisting that incredible change that we're seeing happen, and it's happening very, very quickly. So the postie, as we know him, or her, they're looking pretty, you know, impressive out on their bikes these days, aren't they?
Yes, well, those machines were their little three-wheeler things that you see buzzing around. They hold, I think, 70 kilos. And that was full of letters in its day. Yeah. And now what's going to happen is that every second day there'll be letters in their run. And I think they'll alternate days depending on where they're going. And the 70 kilos will be full of parcels.
That's a big job.
It is a big job. And I think they've been gearing up for that for a while. The posties seem, I don't want to speak for all posties, but this has been a fairly soft landing for everybody involved. The unions aren't too upset. The posties still come every day. Your letter will potentially suffer a one-day delay if it's a real letter.
It doesn't seem to be that obtrusive,
see, it
really
feels soft, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you'll see the devil sometimes in the detail, though.
Yeah, I think it could have been worse, you know. I think
a lot worse.
Do you think we'll see in the future that we won't have post offices as we know them?
Oh, you see, they're not just about letters, are they?
Not now.
They're about a bunch of other services that are under pressure. Are they suitable retailers anymore? Do you go there if you haven't got any other banking facilities? I think there's a role for all of that.
That's interesting.
The question is, do you need, if I turn right and head 100 metres from my house, which is in a city, I get to a post office. If I turn left and head 100 metres, I find another post office. I think there's going to be some rationalisation. There's also going to be some automation with parcels.
Oh, that's right. But I mean, personally, people send parcels overseas for gifts and so on. Mm-hmm. But big businesses that do that, they wouldn't take them to a post office, obviously, to be sent off, would they?
They do.
Oh, indirectly, yes.
Yes, so they'll have an arrangement. A bigger business will have an arrangement to have post pick up parcels, or they'll drop them off in bulk. So post offices, specifically the locations, but behind the front counter there's a lot going on in terms of processing mail and processing parcels. So those are little tiny processing centres scattered all over the place. They're going to stay in some form, and maybe with some rationalisation.
Big companies like Amazon and so forth,
they do their own.
But then they drop it into
the mail somewhere.
That is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, they have their own distribution centres, but they eventually drop them into the mail. So something sent over by from Amazon in the US will find its way into Australia Post system, actually, or used to. I actually don't know for the last year whether that's the case. All of these systems work and interconnect with each other.
Well, they've thought about it very carefully, and obviously you're watching it because you have a close affiliation, I guess, with the situation or the whole department and everything, because you've been involved yourself, haven't you?
Yes. Well, years ago I was a post person, not a postie, but we totally got it. We used to help out with sorting and so on around Christmas. That stuff will still happen, but more so with parcels. Yeah. And I think actually Christmas is one of the few times that's left where more people want to send real things like like cards and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're going to see that, even though mail might become more expensive and not every day, that those sorts of special cases, they will have special prices where things are a bit cheaper.
When you see vision on the news, for example, of a mail sorting area, my goodness, how the heck do they work that out so quickly?
I know, it's impressive, isn't it?
It is very impressive.
It's impressive. So those machines have all been designed over the years for mail. Variations of them can do parcels as well. Not the same machines, the different machines, but the same kinds of technology. And so we'll see that those mail centres which process millions of items every day. And there's sort of, for example, the big one here in Perth is down near the airport, and there's one in every city. Those machines will gradually transition to or be replaced by parcel sorting facilities.
What does the machine pick up? The address, and it sends it off in that direction, you know, on the belt, that sort of thing?
Yes, it's all done in waves and streaming, so it will pick up things that are due to go to Perth, and then all the stuff that it reads off the thing that should go to Perth then heads there. Once it gets to Perth, it'll start to break it down into different regions and country, city, and then
the machinery does all that.
Oh yes, it all they had optical character recognition. I think we might call
why
it
should I
primitive
doubt?
AI now.
It is just about when you
years
think about
ago, and they were working it that way.
Yeah. I mean, we've progressed from someone in the sorting area manually looking at the address
exactly
and putting it into a certain area.
Well, we think of postcodes. They've been around for two generations.
That long now?
Yes, and they were actually sorting was being automated based on postcode all those years ago.
Yeah. So it's looking okay, isn't it? I mean, we haven't heard any great outcries about the whole situation.
No, it's been surprisingly a soft landing, given that they've been warning and senators had to deal with it and parliaments had to look at it and there have been many stakeholders involved, country towns. There'll be special cases, and I think we're going to have to deal with special cases, you know, if you literally haven't got no internet for some reason, or if your community needs a post office. I don't think they're going to be under pressure, but those are the sorts of things that I think we'll see that post has to look fairly sensitively at.
Well, I'm glad they are, and I think
seems to be.
No, that does. It really does. Is there anything else that you're watching at the moment with the role that you play with your department that needs revealing or looking into the future for what might be for us consumers?
Nothing that would be safe to say on air.
Really? What a shame you can't.
Well, just rumours and innuendo. That's all the stuff that goes on, really.
Yeah, it's happening so fast, though, Paul. You know?
And I'm not with Post, by the way. We're talking
Other businesses. No, I get that. No, I know what you're saying. So it's good that you keep
Post
watching.
Post is a very trusted brand, and there's a good reason. Yeah. It tends to play its cards open.
Yeah.
Perhaps back in the Christine Holgate days, it might have been there were some bumpy waters there. But since then, they seem to have straightened up and fly right. Is that the word?
Sounds good. Good slogan. Cheryl of Golden Bay has asked us to explain what Amazon is. I thought everybody sort of knew what Amazon was.
Amazon's a behemoth. It's a huge, big gorilla of
shop online.
Online portal.
How about the business they've opened up out at Jandakot?
Yes, well, they're doing that. So they've finally got to Australia. They talk in numbers that are usually the biggest in Australia that we've ever seen. But if you go to the US, you'll see that our stuff's quite small compared. Look, they've really set most of the rules for online sales and marketing.
And they're pretty reliable, are they?
They pin their reputation on being so.
Yes, you'd want to be for people
I feel it's safe. You can go to Amazon and feel like you're not taking much risk. It's going to come. It's not going to be a scam. As long as you're really going to Amazon, that's okay.
The whole thing is, though, the product, the produce, the garments and everything, they must have massive storage areas.
Well, they do. And they started off selling books. Did you know that?
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And they said, we're going to have every title in the world. And then they they sort of did that through creative means. And then they thought, well, maybe we should have, you know, computers and clothes and whatever. And now they have absolutely everything. Not everything they hold. Sometimes when you buy from Amazon, they send an order straight out to the company that makes them, which ships it then through to you. So there's various processes that they
That makes full sense, doesn't it, really, when you think
still
about
are
the work in collaboration with the designers and everything.
Totally.
And the wholesalers.
Yes.
Oh, that is just fantastic. Well, gosh, I'd love to know the future. You've got a few secrets that you need to share with everyone.
But I get it wrong as much as I get it right.
Well, continue to do so. And is all this starting to happen immediately with the Australia Post?
Oh, good point. I think it's coming in. They're talking talking about 18 months before a lot of these technology changes that they've got to make filter right the way through. But I some of this will start to happen quite soon.
Yeah.
To be honest, I have to go back and check and see what date they nominate for two-day deliveries.
When you think about the monies that they've lost with, you know, people mailing letters and birthday cards, because you can do that online these days too, the stamps, people, they don't probably sell stamps anymore.
I think they're $1.50 now going up, and they will go up even further, because if you want to have actual mail, it'll be considered special purpose down the track, and it'll be priority mail, as it's called now, or some other forms of mail that they'll create for this, and that'll be user pays for that, and that's fine. The whole philately business, I've got a stamp collection that no one knows about. I'm thinking of handing it to my grandkids, but they don't want to know about it.
They will eventually.
Well, that's why it's in plastic bags.
Absolutely right, because the nostalgia is very
big.
Its time
will come.
The time will come. Mm. Record players, you know, albums the younger people are buying now, because they think, oh, that would have been rather nice for my grandparents back then.
Yes, and a bit of me thinks that's the sort of thing Post will still supply, is, you know, stamps. Maybe not many used, but people collect them.
Oh, they do. Oh, no. You're on the right track there, that's for sure. Lovely to meet you. Thank you, Professor Paul Alexander.
Thank you, Jenny.